Well, there you have it. It is our Biblical Worldview Question of the Week with Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away. Good morning to you, Nancy.
Good morning again, Steve and Kelly.
Oh, hey. Is there more to being a Christian than merely acknowledging that Christ died and rose again? What do you think?
Well, great question, Steve. When this question was posed, I was thinking immediately, as a non-believer, when I was confronted by Christians numerous times, and their goal was to get me to repeat a prayer that they were praying and I would agree with or pray along with them to God, declaring I was a sinner and that Jesus died and rose again to save me, to solidify my future residency in heaven. And it wasn't done with a mean spirit. It was just done, if you repeat this prayer, then you're going to be okay. And that was all there was to it. And it seemed to me way too good and way too simple to be true. And indeed, it was. While many base their standing with God on repeating a prayer, but the Bible tells us a different story. And this feeds in so much to what you two were talking about earlier, is the humility, the surrender to God. It's just not anything light. It is very deep when you get into it. We bounce off the scripture of John 3:16, which is so common to the Christian world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes, keyword, shall not perish but have everlasting life.
So you put a lot of emphasis on that word, whoever believes. Then in terms of believing in Jesus, what does believe actually mean?
Yeah, and this word is so jam-packed. As a verb, the word is pistio, which means to believe or to be persuaded of, and hence to place confidence in, to trust. You know, it's active reliance upon, not just mere credence, not just mere, okay, fine, I believe it might have happened. Not at all. It's the most frequent in the writings of John, you know, especially in the gospel. So here we see this idea of, I am totally persuaded. I am putting my confidence, my trust in. But as a noun, as used in Romans and 2 Thessalonians, I'll read that in a moment. But the Greek word is translated pistis, which means believe. And in its chief significance, it's a conviction of respecting God and his word and the believer's relationship to him. So here we see much difference, nothing superficial about this. It's a conviction of respecting God and his word. And so here we see, whosoever believes, wow, that's somebody that clearly understands and is depending upon and respecting his word. Romans 10 says, so faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of God, word of Christ. 2 Thessalonians, but we ought to always give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through the sanctification by the Spirit in the belief in the truth. To this he called you through the gospel, so that you might obtain glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the deepness of this idea of being transformed through the Spirit in the belief in truth. So this belief is, I am in 100% and I'm not leaving. I mean, that's essentially what that says.
Well, let me ask you then, because it sounds like, honestly, you're saying the depth of the relationship that God wants with each one of his children. So you say that God, basically, he's not into casual relationships, is what you're saying. So help explain that a little more.
No, I mean, again, we've said through the years here, you know, Satan would love you to treat, you know, Jesus as Santa, you know, or God. Just ask and he'll give it to you. No, it's not that at all, you know, and I don't think God is the least bit impressed with perfect church attendance. You know, how many committees we can be on and putting on that happy face to show people how put together we are. I don't see that at all. I think sometimes so many think that. But when we choose to believe, listen, we're choosing to love and obey without complaint and without hesitation. You know, this idea of saying something that you shouldn't have said to somebody or doing something, going to that person and say, you know what? I was so wrong. I'm so sorry. That is hard for us to do, to admit we're gone. But here in the scriptures, we're saying, look, we're going to obey without complaint. And I'm not going to hesitate. I'm not going to stew over what God has called us to do. It's about total surrender to Jesus. It's what you were talking about earlier, Kelly, when you were talking about the humility that comes with us. And by the way, rarely does God ask us to do something that comes naturally or easily. You know, it's just, maybe it's just me in my life, but no, generally not. Because following Jesus, discipleship demands sacrifice. And Jesus never hedged on telling us that is exactly what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to sacrifice and to come with me. In Luke 9, Jesus tested the level of faith. Do you remember with those people that were coming to him he posted questions to three of them who outwardly said, you know, I want to follow you. What's it going to take? And he found that the commitment was half-hearted at best. No, I have to go home and bury the dead. No, I have to do this. I have to do this. And the point is they failed to count the cost of following Christ. And none of them were willing to take up their cross and crucify it on their own interest. You know, this whole idea of following Christ isn't when it's my timing. It's God's timing. And it's all in. We see in Luke 9, and Jesus said to all, if anybody would come after me, let him deny himself. There it is. Take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. And whoever will lose his life for my sake will save it. There it is.
Well, we want to unpack that one a little bit more, which, by the way, if you're just tuning in, we're talking with Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away Biblical Worldview Ministry. And our biblical worldview question of the week that we're unpacking is there more to being a Christian than merely acknowledging that Christ died and rose again? So, Nancy, what does it actually mean to take up our cross daily? What does that mean in the lives we're living today?
Yeah, it doesn't have anything to do with self-denial. It's not what I can do for God, clearly, or for myself. I'm not going to do this anymore. That's not what this is about. This is so much deeper. It is a life that's completely surrendered to Christ. It's a willingness because we know him, you know, we know what he did for us. So therefore, we are willing to sacrifice to Jesus by doing with joy, you know, whatever he asks us to do, the easy and the hard. Lord, if this is my lot, if this will bring you glory, you know, count me in is the attitude I think he's looking for. Until Christ becomes a way of life, I don't think we really understand what it means to pick up your cross. This whole idea of it's a way of life. I wake up in the morning, I'm eager to see what's going on today, Lord, and how can I bring you glory today? It's not me, it's Christ. It's to live a life that causes us to know him through his word, through you know, reading and praying and studying the scriptures. This is all, you know, it's all a part of it. It's not a casual relationship until Jesus becomes the epicenter of our life, to whom we daily surrender in obedience, his will and not our own. Will we really understand what it means to walk with Christ? You know, it's tough. It's challenging and at times exhausting. And I think we just, I think about this and it's true, it is. but is priceless. The relationship with Christ on a moment-by-moment basis, willing to do anything that he calls us to do. Well, it's pretty amazing.
That's the scary thing, is that there are a lot of people who are walking around totally deceived, thinking that they've really given their life over, but they haven't. So how do we know whether somebody has totally given their life over to Christ? How do we take personal inventory of ourselves to answer that question? Have I totally given my life to Christ?
Yeah, and I think there's some questions we can ask ourselves, you know. Are we totally surrendered? This idea, are you willing to follow Christ if it means staying off places on the internet, you know, that are filling your mind and filling the things of the flesh? It's practical, everyday things, Steve, that we really need to look at. Are you willing to follow Jesus if it means being kicked out of your friend group? There we go. Are you willing to follow Jesus if it means alienation from your family? So hard for a Muslim to become a Christian because they are alienated, as are the Jews.
Well, so for us, we don't as well.
Yes, sir. Yes. And so, boom, it's not an easy decision. You have to realize that with this comes some suffering. This idea, are you willing to follow Jesus if it means failing a class because of your faith in Jesus? Many students are confronted with this. And are they willing? Are you willing to follow Jesus if it means losing your job? And are you willing to follow Jesus if it means losing your life? And then it gets very personal. I mean, then it gets right down to it. Are we? I look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anybody is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, and the new has come. In Galatians 2:19-20, for through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith to the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There it is.
Mm-hmm. You know, this has been so good.
It's not easy.
No, it's not. Oof. I remember, oh my goodness, it's been several years back, Nancy, and I know that you know Devon McDonald, former player for the Indianapolis Colts, and one of the first times I got to chat with him and hear his story, I'll never forget him in that beautiful, rich Jamaican accent of his talking about realizing he had come to a point in his life where he needed Christ, and he knew the life he had been living. And there's that point of reckoning for all of us, and I remember him just saying, what am I going to do with this Jesus? And that's what we've got to decide, and it is very personal, just as you've been talking about this morning. This has been so good.
Yeah, and it's just every moment. It's not, okay, Jesus, I'll do this for you, but if you do this and this and this, mm-hmm. then it'll work. No.
Yeah.
No, he's already done this and this and that and everything else by dying on the cross, you know. So it's a new way of living, and you really, this is a process of sanctification that we talked about, that daily realization that our lives is meant for Christ and not ourselves, not this selfish self-centeredness, but rather living to the glory of God. Lord, how can I glorify you this day?
Oh, and it's so painful because you do look at the world and you see what's going on out there. Oh. And you see how... Mm-hmm. How it is. And unfortunately, as we say, you know, there is a lot of people who believe that they are in Christ, but have fallen into this cultural Christianity, because there's a difference between cultural Christianity, and there's a big difference between that and biblical Christianity. And so we need to be cautious in all of that and discerning in all our ways. And that's what worldview is all about. And that's why Anchors Away is